All right, good morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to Matthew chapter 5. And as our children are exiting, can you just say thank you one more time for them leading us in worship this morning, boys and girls? Did an awesome job and love seeing the different generations worshiping the Lord. That's one of the strengths, I believe, of our church is you look around and it's not just one age group. It's people from all walks of life who have been through different seasons of life. And it's wonderful to know that we are passing the baton of our faith on to the next generation. And this is just one of the ways that we're doing it. We are bringing to a close this series today. We're calling the Kingdom Project. We have spent 7 weeks talking about the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. It's used interchangeably in the scriptures, what it is, why it's important. And these last 2 weeks have been putting everything together, all that we've learned, and the goal is to put it into practice. Now, by way of review, maybe this is your first week and you're walking in, I want to catch you up very fast on where we've been these last 7 weeks, what we've covered up to this point. The first week, we defined the kingdom of God as the rule and reign of God in our life. And it has this already not yet element to it. What I mean by that is when we become citizens of the kingdom, Jesus said the way that you become a citizen of the kingdom is you must be born again. And when we become a citizen of the kingdom, we live under the rule and reign of Jesus. He is our king. And the Bible teaches that while we live this way now, we are giving people a foretaste of the future kingdom to come when one day Jesus will return and he will bring heaven to earth, literally, and we will live forever and ever under the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. In week two, we talked about seeking the kingdom of God and that seeking the kingdom should be the ultimate priority of our life. Jesus put it like this, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about some parables out of Matthew chapter 13, 7 parables there on the kingdom of God. And we talked about the value and incredible power of the kingdom and why our lives should revolve, not around ourselves or around hobbies and interests, but instead it should revolve around the kingdom. In week three, we pulled from what is referred to as the King's Manifesto. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and that's actually where we're going to take our text today. But week three, we worked this image out that you'll see on the screen. We looked at the Beatitudes, and we showed you a kingdom heart. And what we talked about is a kingdom life can only be lived out as an expression of a kingdom heart. And these Beatitudes show us what this kingdom heart looks like. And we talked about how life is really not about doing, but rather than being. And when we have kingdom character, kingdom action will take care of itself. Week four was about bringing people into the kingdom. In Luke 14, Jesus tells a parable and he says, the kingdom of God is like a big party. It's like a big celebration. And we are servants that ought to be going out into the highways and hedges of life, compelling people, forcing people, urging people to come into the kingdom. And there's this emphasis that the kingdom of God is for those who are broken and lowly and despised and blind and crippled and lame. And by the way, that's all of us before we came to know Jesus. The invitation to the kingdom is for everyone. Week five, we talked about kingdom conflict. As sons and daughters of the light, we understand that there is also a kingdom of darkness. And that week we talked about how God has given us this incredible weapon called prayer at our disposal that helps us call down the forces from above and helps advance against this kingdom of darkness. And then last week we talked about discovering our kingdom purpose. And if you remember, I gave you this image that you'll see on the screen, which is a combination. If you want to find our sweet spot and have a maximum impact for the kingdom of God, it involves finding your kingdom purpose. And that sweet spot is typically a mixture of your education and skills, of your passions and interests, of the spiritual giftings in your life, and your personal experiences. What we encouraged you to do last week, if you were here, was to text 77069, the word kingdom. And what we have done in our church software program is we have an assessment on that software. We want you to find what your spiritual gifting is. And so this assessment takes about 15 or 20 minutes. If you're a guest, you're gonna have to set up an account with us there and then you can take it. But 15 to 20 minutes, you'll answer some questions and it'll show you what are probably, best chances, are your top 2 or 3 spiritual gifts. And there's a link that you can click on at the bottom of that page that gives you ministries, both inside and outside the church, that could use you. And you could use your spiritual giftings and your passions and influences and your skill set and education to find your sweet spot so that you can help advance the kingdom of God. Now, this inventory and assessment are still up. And so if you didn't do it last week, you can do it this week. Don't do it while I'm preaching, all right? But you can text KINGDOM to 77069. And when you get home this afternoon, sometime this week, take that assessment. And we would love for you to find what maybe it is your sweet spot for the kingdom. Now, today's message is going to put everything together. And it culminates in this message I'm calling Kingdom Impact. This is the dream, Champion Force. This is the whole genesis behind the Kingdom Project. That kingdom citizens would develop a kingdom heart, kingdom character, that have discovered their kingdom purpose, their sweet spot. What it is, when they do it, they sense the smile of God on their life. It's these kinds of people that make a maximum kingdom impact. When I was a kid, my grandparents lived on a farm, and they had a couple of ponds on their farm, and I would love to go to those ponds, not just fish them, but I would love to take rocks and skip them across those ponds. And I'd love to take bigger rocks and throw them up in the air as high as I could to see when that rock made an impact with the water, how big that ripple effect could go. And I wanted to make the largest ripple effect possible. Well, that's a picture of what I'm talking about today when I say making a kingdom impact. I don't know about you, but I want my life to make the biggest ripple effect for the kingdom possible. And that's what today's message is all about. I'm reminded of a quote by C.T. Studd, who was a professional cricket player, played for the England's national team in the 1800s. He became an evangelist and a missionary. He said this, "Only one life, which will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." We've got one shot at this gift called life that God's given us. One shot. Average American today, they tell us, is living to be 76 years of age. You do the math, that's 27,740 days. This is how long, on the average, that we have to make a maximum kingdom impact, to have a ripple effect with our lives that lasts and continues long after we are gone. This passage today in Matthew chapter 5 is going to show us the way. I want to begin in verse 13. I'll read through verse 16. The Bible says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This past weekend at the Lanier Theological Library, they had a lecture weekend, and they brought in Dr. Alistair McGrath. He's one of the foremost theologians of our day from Ireland, and just an incredible mind, a very keen thinker, and he has studied C.S. Lewis his entire life and has just written a book on C.S. Lewis, a genius when it comes to C.S. Lewis. If you're familiar with any of C.S. Lewis' writings, you know that he was all about using imagery and imagination to communicate a spiritual truth. When we were at a luncheon on Friday, a question was posed to Alistair McGrath and to some other theologians that were there that day. What is their favorite imagery? What is the favorite metaphor of all of C.S. Lewis's writings? What was their favorite? And it was amazing listening to some of their answers. Now, I want you to keep in mind, C.S. Lewis is the man that gave us Narnia, the whole made-up world of Narnia. C.S. Lewis is the man who gave us the Screwtape letters, the letters written from Uncle Screwtape to his nephew Wormwood. This man could paint pictures with his words. It was amazing listening to these theologians answer, what was the greatest metaphor? I thought about that because Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5 gives us two incredible metaphors to think about as it relates to being citizens of the kingdom and having maximum kingdom impact. He says we are to be salt, and we are to be light. Now, I can't think of two better images to use to describe how we are to make a kingdom impact than salt and light. When you think about salt, when you think about light, the word impact no doubt comes to mind. And so here's what I want us to do in the message today. I want us to look at both of these metaphors in detail. We'll see what we can learn from them about impact and the sort of impact we can have. And then I want to come back at the end and I want to talk about three areas of our life that we cannot afford to miss out on as it relates to having kingdom impact. So let's look first at this idea of being salt. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, we know in the early centuries, in the days of the Bible, salt was extremely valuable. In fact, it was such an important commodity that sometimes people were paid in salt, particularly soldiers. We get our word salt from the Latin word salarium or sal, meaning salt. You've heard perhaps even used the phrase before, he or she is not worth their salt. They're not worth their pay. In the Bible, salt was used mainly as a preservative. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have ice machines. God bless them. So what did they do to preserve meat or fish? They would rub salt into it, and it would act as a preservative. It would prevent it from becoming rotten. At a minimum, it would delay the decay. That's impact. Jesus is making the parallel that as followers of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom, we are salt. And we are to preserve society from the decay of sin. See, sin is the issue. Sin is what distorts. Sin is what brings destruction and death to everything that it touches. And as followers of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom, we should not be contributing to the decay of society around us. Jesus said, if this is the case, this salt has lost its taste. It's lost its impact. In the words of Jesus, if we're not preserving the culture around us from decay, then verse 13b, we're no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet because we're not serving the purpose for which we've been created. God designed us when he changed us and transformed our lives. When we entered into a relationship with him, we became salt. He designed us for impact. And I'll work more of this out in just a moment, but I want you to notice what Jesus did not say. He did not say, act like salt. He did not say, you go around trying to be salt. He said, you are salt. When we became citizens of the kingdom, our identity changes and impact should be the inevitable result. It should come by way of simply who we are in Christ. Think about it. When you go to lunch today, you're not going to put salt on your food and command to salt it up. Not going to happen. It's going to do what it was created to do. If you have an ulcer in your mouth and they tell you to rinse out with warm salt water, you're not, before you do that, say, burn like the devil, all right? Put it in. You're not going to do that. Why? You don't have to tell salt to do anything. It does what it was created to do. It makes an impact. So Christian, citizens of the kingdom, if you are not making an impact for the kingdom by the way you live, it is a sure sign that something is off. Something is wrong. Something is amiss. Because salt impacts. The second metaphor that is used here is light. Verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If salt is meant mainly to preserve, then light, its primary purpose, is to expose. Isn't this true? This is what light does. It exposes darkness. That's why we have light in the first place. Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light exposes the darkness. And here in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is underscoring something very important about light. And you know what that is? It's not meant to be hidden. You don't light a light, and as Jesus says right here, put it under a basket. Instead, you put it on a stand where all can see. Hide it under a bushel? No. For all of those that grew up in church, we let our light shine. Jesus says a city set on a hill, it can't be hidden at night. You see candles in the windows, you see light, it emanates from the city, it exposes it. Again, we're talking about impact, and here we see that light impacts darkness. This past week, our family went down to the Houston Rodeo. We love the Houston Rodeo, all right? My wife, Debbie, affectionately refers to it as her second most wonderful time of the year. You got Christmas, and you got Houston Rodeo. And we go down there a lot, all right? I take out a small business loan to win my girl stuffed animals that I could get at Walgreens for $3, okay? But we're all in. We love it. I mean, I'll fast for a few days before going and eating at the Houston Rodeo. And this past week, we went to see King and Country in concert, and they put on a great concert. But during the concert, they instructed all the lights to be turned off there at NRG Stadium. I mean, it went pitch black. And they said, now turn on your cell phone lights. And one by one, those cell phone lights came on. And I'm telling you, the entire stadium just lit up. Light exposing the darkness. I want to emphasize here again, this is who we are. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It speaks to our identity. Just as if we are not preserving culture from decay by being salt, something is wrong. The same is true as it relates to light. If we are not exposing darkness simply by the way that we live our lives, it is a sure sign something is not right by its very virtue. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we are to be making an impact. We are salt. We are light. Now, I want to transition, and I want to talk about three areas of our life that we have to ensure we are making a kingdom impact upon. These three areas that I'm going to talk about here in the second half of this message, they matter the most. And when we talk about kingdom impact, if we don't impact our culture and our world in any way, these three areas we cannot miss on. First is impact your family. When it comes to being salt and light, making a difference, it starts in the home. We're talking about a ripple effect that continues long after we are gone. The greatest ripple effect that you can have is a ripple effect you make in your home. And it starts with being a Christian. It starts with giving your life to Jesus, making sure that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, that you have been born again, that you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, that you've asked him to be the Lord of your life. If you want to make a kingdom impact in your family, it starts with knowing Jesus and following Jesus. And so I want to ask you, Mom, I want to ask you, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, in your home, are you, by your attitude and actions, preventing decay? Are you letting your light shine in the home so that darkness has no place to reside. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 11, Paul is writing, and I want to remind you, Ephesians 5 is the passage on the home. These verses precede Paul's instructions to husbands and wives and children in Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to what he says, verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found, look at this, in all that is good and right and true. In your home, is there a funnel there that you're filtering everything that comes into your home by what is good and right and true? He says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose them. We talked a few weeks ago, kingdom conflict. There is a kingdom of darkness led by a prince of darkness who has forces of darkness, who wants to keep you and your children and your grandchildren in darkness. And so I just want to start, and I want to start with the dads in the room and just ask you this question. I want to exhort you to holiness. Don't flirt with that which is dark. Take no part, Paul said, in unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, expose them. And so lead by example, dads. Get software on that computer that will block internet pornography to the best of your ability. Make sure you're checking your children's phones. You get nosy and you get in their business. They won't like it now, but they'll appreciate it later. And if you start when they're young, they won't know any different. Make sure you're bringing God in your home through prayer. Parents, let your children see you reading the Bible. Let them hear you speaking over them words of blessing and affirmation and what you're praying over them. Model sharing your faith and blessing your neighbor and working as unto the Lord. Let them see a commitment to Christ and to his church over sports and travel and activities. This is being salt and light. They need to see a mom and a dad seeking first the kingdom. They need to see a mom and a dad bringing people into the kingdom. They need to hear mom and dad talking of spiritual things. This is how you make an impact. And what is more important than making an impact on those closest to you? This is the impact that ripples into eternity. And so when we talk about kingdom impact, it starts with your family. So the question I'm posing is, are you salt and light to those that know you the best and that are around you the most? Secondly, we've got to impact the lost. God has put people in your path every single day that need to know Jesus. That's why they're in your path. It's no mistake. No accidents that you live in that neighborhood next to that neighbor who doesn't know Jesus. Acts 17, 26, God ordains the exact times and places that you should live. It's no accident that you go to that office, to that workplace, and you cubicle up next to that person who doesn't know Jesus, that you go to that school and you're on that team or sitting next to that person in class that doesn't know Jesus. God has put people directly in your path so that you could make impact in their life, that you could be salt and light. And the best way to do this is by simply letting your light shine. That's what verse 16 says. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Warren Wiersbe said, good works, listen to this, I love this definition. Good works are simply works motivated by love, energized by the Spirit, and done to the glory of God. See, people who don't know Jesus, they can do good works, but there's not power in them like there's power in ours, because our good works are motivated by a holy love, motivated by the Holy Spirit, done unto the glory of a holy God. What good works could you start doing to influence someone, to impact someone for Christ who doesn't know Jesus? And again, they're in your area of influence. I was in Irving earlier this week. I was preaching at what was called the Empower Evangelism Conference, and it was pastors and leaders from all over the state of Texas that had come, and I was at a luncheon. And they were asking me questions about Champion Forest and how we became a sending church. We are known in the church world as a sending church. What that means is we are sending people out into North America and all over the world on mission, and we're recognized for it. I mean, in the last 3 years, through our missions ministry, through our CF Connect, we have planted 33 churches in North America and given nearly $2 million to missions, or $1 million, so to speak, to church planting. And so it's amazing what God is doing through our residency program. We're training up these young ministers and we're sending them out. Through our Spanish church planting residency, we're sending out Spanish pastors that are meeting in churches all over North America and developing Spanish congregations just like the one that we have right now. We're known as a sending church. And I was asked a question at that luncheon that I'd never thought about before. They said, Jarrett, when did God put in your heart this desire to be a sending church, to be a sending pastor? And I thought about it, and it didn't take me long. You know what had happened? 20 years ago, I was serving in Dallas as a young singles and college pastor. And Curtis Cook came to meet with me. Curtis Cook was a church planter in Boston. And he had graduated from Oklahoma State and was planting a church in Cambridge, just a few blocks from Harvard. Can you say the humor of God, all right? Using the foolishness of the world to confound the wise. And Curtis said, Jarrett, I want you to bring a group of your young singles and college students to Boston and help us plant this church. I'd never even really heard of church planting. Here I was in ministry, and I thought, what do I got going to Boston? I got my hands cut out. I got my work cut out for me here in North Texas, but I love Curtis. And so we took a trip up to Boston, took our first group of young singles up there. We stayed in the church, slept on air mattresses and pews. They had two showers in the church. We tried to make it as cheap as possible. And for a week, here's what we did every single day. We would meet together, we'd pray, then we would put bags over our shoulders that had the church name on them, Hope Fellowship Church. And in the mornings, we put granola bars in those bags, and we would go to subway stops all throughout Boston, and we would stand at the entry of the subway stops, and when people came in, we would give them a granola bar with a card that said, this is free, no strings attached. And on the other side of that card, it was just information about the church that said, if we can ever serve you, let us know. And so we would just stand at subway stops in the morning. We'd just pass out granola bars, whoever would take them. Now, 99.9% of the people that came by didn't want to engage in a conversation at all. They just would take the bar or just walk right past us. You know what we did in the afternoon? We showed back up at those subway stops. This time we had bottles of water or we had sticks of gum. And we passed them out, everybody that came. We did it every day that week of that mission trip. We ended up taking trips 3 times a year to help serve this church. And do you know what would happen? What would happen is those guys, they take that granola bar and they would eat that granola bar. They put that card in their pocket. They'd get home and somebody, you know, they unload their pocket. They throw it down right there. And you know what would happen? They would see something would go down in their life, a tragedy, a trouble, a trial. Or maybe they were just starting to have questions about life and meaning of life. And they'd see that card. God would arrange it that way. And at one time, Curtis Cook, 60% of their visitors were coming because they had received a granola bar and a card, water, stick of gum, 60%. Just a good work in the name of Jesus. They were known as the Granola Bar Church. We went there for 10 years. And by the end of our time there, we'd have people come up going, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I didn't have breakfast this morning. I was hoping the Granola Bar Church was here. And they grab a granola bar. Curtis is still at Hope Fellowship Church in Boston. And he's known as the godfather of church planting. And there's been so many churches that have been planted through his ministry. But the impact happened simply by letting our light shine, being and doing a good work. Last year, we had our Bless Initiative, where we asked you to get to know your neighbors and to bless them in the name of Jesus. And we said, begin with prayer. Just begin praying for them, because prayer is what softens those who are lost. It's what softens their heart. God's got to do the work. And we talked about listening, engaging them in conversation. Listen to Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Listen to this. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious. Look at this. Seasoned with salt so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Can I tell you, some of you could have a kingdom impact simply by cleaning up your conversation and how you talk to those who are far away from God? Listen, I get it. I get it. As salt, by our very nature, there are some things that we are going to do because of the way that we make decisions, the way that we operate, our value system that we have. It is going to agitate a dark world. It's going to rub the kingdom of darkness wrong. I get that. There's a reason that Jesus said in the verses preceding the ones that we're reading today, verses 13 through 16, he said, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus knew that if we had a kingdom heart, kingdom character, and we lived that out, we found our kingdom purpose, and we were living to make a difference, to make a kingdom impact, he knew that we would be persecuted. He knew it. He knew the world wasn't going to like it. But please notice what Jesus didn't say there in verses 10 through 12. He didn't say, blessed are you when you're persecuted for being a jerk. He said, blessed when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's a difference. I just harp on this right now because I see more and more in this social media-driven world where we pop off at the mouth or on the keyboard. And as a result, we are losing our distinctiveness as salt and ruining the impact we could have on the very people that God has called us to reach. He says, be wise in how you act toward outsiders. How are outsiders going to act? Lost. Shouldn't upset us, get under our skin. They don't know Jesus. So their decisions aren't going to reflect the same decisions that we would make who are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we can stand for righteousness and do it with character and do it with honor and do it with sincerity. And we can speak to those who believe differently than we do, having our conversation seasoned with salt. And when we do that, a kingdom impact can be made. We're coming up on election season. I'll just dive in it while I'm here, okay? And listen, I'm going to encourage you, as citizens of the kingdom, you participate in the voting process. You do your work as a citizen and you vote your values. And you don't need me to tell you who to vote for, okay? When you come to church, you get enough of that during the week. When you come to church, my commitment to you as your pastor is I'm not going to prop up any person from this pulpit except the person of Jesus Christ. I commit to you that, okay? You pray about it. You speak to your community of believers around you. You're smart enough to make your own decisions. But I want to implore you to act like Christians. Be salt. Be light. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 14 through 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. He's setting up a contrast here. He's saying we ought to look different. Look at this. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. The way that we interact with the lost, we shouldn't be angry and hostile. That's how the world acts. We should be different. God is sovereign. He's in control. We can trust him. And so the way that we engage in conflict or a difference of opinion, it should be different than the world. And that difference is what is attractive, okay? I talked about going to the Houston Rodeo. One of the reasons I love it is because it's got that fair-like carnival-type atmosphere. And I grew up going to the fair. And one of my favorite things to do when I was going to the fair growing up is always Shreveport Fairgrounds. We'd go out there, and my favorite thing to go to was this huge tent that was out there that showed a lady transforming into a werewolf. It was awesome. It's a big tent. And there was a person on the microphone saying, do not come in here if you're faint of heart. Do not come in here if you're pregnant. Do not come. I mean, they're just warning all these warnings. Do not come in here. So what do you think people are doing? I'll go shelling it out, baby. And I remember going in there, and they move you to a stage. It's much like this one right here, and everybody's as close to the stage as you can get. I brought my cousin in, and he couldn't see. We were kind of in the back, and so I had him on my back. And we're watching, all of a sudden this lady comes out. And there's bars across the stage, like prison bars, cage bars. So everybody's as close as they can get. And this lady stands here just like this. And she doesn't say a word. She just stands just like this. And all of a sudden, through optical illusion, she starts sprouting hair, turns into a werewolf right there in front of our eyes. And I mean, everybody's looking at it going, this is amazing. I mean, they're pointing, they're laughing, they're giggling. Look at this, look at this. And they warned us three or four times. Here's the exits. If you need to leave, this is the exit. And so everybody's pointing and laughing, and that lady's just werewolf now. It's just standing just like this. And all of a sudden, that werewolf does this. All right? That's what everybody did, all right? Ah! I mean, my cousin, he was off my back. I don't know where he went. He was gone. There was a stampede outside the tent. I mean, I would stay there and just watch it. All right? Amazing. The biggest crowd at the fair was the freak shows, all right? Why? Because everybody wanted to see it. Now, I'm not telling you to be a freak for Jesus, all right? Don't be a weirdo. But what I'm saying is the thing that makes us different, the thing that makes us different, that's what attracts people to us. We are to look different, to act different, because we are different. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And the Bible says, let your light shine. Let people see your good works. And by the way, that bless your neighbors. Begin in prayer. Pray for them. Listen to them. Engage in conversation. Season with salt. Wise toward outsiders. Eat with them. Breaks barriers down. Serve them. Share with them. Watch what happens. I love, one of the things I love about this passage the most is when Jesus is speaking in the original language of the day, the tense is you. So it's in its emphatic form. You and you alone. It's as if Jesus was talking just to you. You and you, if you're a citizen of the kingdom, you and you alone are a citizen of the kingdom. But it's also in its plural form, meaning you and you alone, together with you and you alone, together with you and you alone, together. You are the salt of the earth. You know, I liken it. It's a picture of a salt shaker, right? I mean, when you go to lunch today, you're not going to put one grain of salt on there. That's not going to, it might make a difference. It's not going to make a whole lot of difference. But what happens if you get liberal with it? Man, you shake that up, you can change the whole way that thing tastes. And so the picture is, maybe it's a kingdom citizen over here has a neighbor that doesn't know Jesus. And you speak with them, you're kind with them, you meet needs. When they're out of town, you watch their house, and they know who you are. And when Easter's coming up in about 4 weeks, are they going to see your Easter at Champion Forest sign that we're going to give out starting next week, and you're going to put it in your yard? They know you're a Christian, but they're not. They live next to you, and they go to work with this citizen of the kingdom right over here, and they office next to you, and y'all work on projects together, and you don't judge the decisions that they make. You're not just preaching to them and shoving it down their throats. You're just kind to them. You help them out on projects. Occasionally, you take them to lunch, and you pay for it, and you're just there in their life, and you're present in their life. Then they get off of work, and they go to the gym right over here with a kingdom citizen right up here, and you see them at the gym, and you have nice, positive interactions with them. Maybe you give them a spot every now and then, tell them what you're doing. Y'all just run, you know, and then they have children. That lost neighbor has children, and they have them on a team of maybe a kingdom citizen right over here. And you get to interact with them, and they see your life, and they see that you're just a little bit different, man. You're not harping on your kids about how good they're doing or how bad they're doing, but more you care more about their character and that they're doing their best, and they just see something that's different. And here's what happens. That neighbor who works with you over here and goes to work with you over here and goes to the gym with you over here and is on the ball team with your kids over here, what happens is typically a tragedy or a trial will come in their life, a boulder. They'll start thinking about the deeper things of life, and they start doing the math, and God in his sovereignty starts adding it up for them. And what they begin to think is, you know, the people that are nice to me, the people that love me, the people that serve me, the people that ask questions interested in me, they're all Christians. And all of a sudden, this person gets saved because salt and light are being salt and light. And I want you to notice in this illustration, not one person got up and said, today I'm going to flavor it up. I'm going to light it up today. No, they just went about their day doing what Christians do, and it makes a kingdom impact. So this is what we have to do. This is what we have to be about. We impact our family. Can't miss it. We impact the lost. That's why we're here. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. If we ever forget that it's about people coming from darkness to light, we've lost it, church. That's why we celebrate baptisms. That's why we do missions. That's why we do evangelism. It's about reaching people who are far from Jesus. That is what we're about. impacting the lost. And then third and finally, impact our church. Impact our church. We started this series with our focus statement. Created this last year, and this is who we say we are as a church. Champion Forest advances the kingdom. How? By making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. You want to make an impact in your church? It starts with being a member of your church. Membership is important. We had a membership class earlier that was filled. We do these about once a month. You can just text membership 77069. It'll give you a link where you can sign up for the next membership class. But membership's important because this is where you get community. This is where you get accountability. I told those in the membership class today that if you're a member of our church and a member of a life group, I promise you, if you're a member of the church and if you're a member of a life group, when something goes down in your life, you'll have people there right there with you. I promise you. If you're a member of the church and a member of the life group. Look, the church is the best thing going. It's not perfect, okay? Church is like a big family. Is your family perfect? We all got crazy cousins. Uncles that we tolerate. You know, they're once a year. All right, we'll let them in. But they're family. Same is true with the church. It's a big family. And I want to remind you, Jesus died for the church. That's his bride. He loves the church, and we should too. The church is called the buttress of truth. The church is a local outpost for the kingdom. We've been saying that throughout this series. It's not the kingdom of God. It's an outpost for the kingdom. That's why we need as many churches as possible. Other churches are not our competition. Other churches are part of the army, and this is just a local outpost called Champion Forest, where it's our division, if you will, that goes out, and we're on mission together, and we pray for one another, and we serve one another, and we have each other's backs, and we come in during the week after going battle against the kingdom of darkness, and we get refreshed, and we get encouraged, and we get re-energized. Think about the kingdom impact you could make as it relates to our church. Listen, some of you are sitting here because somebody made a kingdom impact in your church. A Sunday school teacher showed up, taught Sunday school, and led you to Jesus. Somebody showed up and passed the baton of faith on to you. Or are you passing the baton of faith on to others? Are you making disciples? That's how we advance the kingdom. You can do that through a life group. You can do that in children's ministries. You can do that in student ministry. You can do that through our music ministry. You can do that in a life group, whatever it may be. You can do that through our Next Step ministry, where somebody comes to faith in Christ and we want to start them on a solid foundation. You've been in walking with Jesus for a long time. You can just come alongside someone and help them in their faith. Are you loving our community? That's how you can impact your church. We ask this question all the time around here. If Champion Forest disappeared, would anybody in the community know it? I want our school systems to go, man, I hope Champion Forest doesn't disappear, because we've got so many mentors that are in our school being salt and light. This church comes alongside us and helps us and prays for us. You can be involved in our CMC ministry, our community ministry center, where we're feeding the food insecure, going on local missions. You can be a part of strengthening the church by your stewardship, by your giving that allows us to keep sending people out. By going on mission all over the world, that's strengthening the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got some pastor, brother, friends of mine from Newfoundland here today. God's moving even in Canada, all right? And they need people to go and to give, and we can strengthen the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do this, we're advancing the kingdom. So Champion Forest, these three areas of your life, you can't miss it. It's too important. Make a kingdom impact in your family, on the lost, and in our church. And what would happen? This is the kingdom project. What would happen if every member of the church decided today, kingdom impact? That's what I'm going to be about. So I can make the largest ripple effect for the kingdom possible. Amen. Let's pray together.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.